week. Okay, so we're live on YouTube there. Thanks to Brother Wilmore. God bless you, brother. Okay, let's see who else joins us in the next few minutes there. Brother Shan, God bless. The Chabas, God bless each and everyone there. Brother Jess, as we said. Brother Chris, God bless you. You're more than welcome again today. Brother Sasha was saying there's a sister and her family that have moved to Nice from South Africa. They may be joining. If they do join, we'd really like to greet them as well and say welcome to them. They're more than welcome. Hoping to meet them up face to face as well. Okay, Sister Angel joining. God bless. Let's just give it a few more seconds now to see who else will join us. Anybody joining on YouTube, God bless you there as well. Not quite as interactive on YouTube, but you're welcome there as well. Let's just... Okay. So, Saints, we are pushing on our study on the seals. This evening, getting on to the second seal, we'd like to divide it into two parts, Lord willing. First part, we'll have a look at the actual seal, the horse rider, get a bit of a background. These things, obviously, as you go through the weeks, they gain some momentum. So things that may not seem as clear if you're new, or if you're watching this and you don't fully understand, as you continue on, things become more and more clear as the pieces start to come together. So the first part of the meeting, we try to focus strictly on the seal, the horse rider, the red horse rider. And then when we get on to now, speaking of the living creature, the ox, then we maybe just take a little bit of a direction and we'd like to finish off on that particular kind of a thought, something that might be a little bit more personal, something that would apply maybe a little bit more to us and would help us to understand. It's wonderful to know that I had the concepts, wonderful to know the scriptures, but it's better to know the author. It's better to seek and desire the word to become flesh inside of us. And that's what we desire. You know, knowledge is good, but it puffs up. Charity, it edifies, it builds up. That's what we desire. You know, we can have know all mysteries and have no charity. It doesn't profit us anything. So that's what we'd like to bring it down to at the end by the grace of God. But let's look to the Lord before we start. Father, we bring ourselves, each and everyone, into your hands upon this evening to pray for your blessing upon our meeting, that as you would open up the pages of your word, that, Lord, you would open up our understanding. Lord, that you would move and lead and guide us, both the speaker and the hearers, that you'd give us words to say, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear, that your unction, that your anointing, that your Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth would lead us into all truth. Bless your people, we pray. Father, bless all that are joining us this evening. Bless the people that listen to this after the event. May you be our portion as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless, saints. So we're going to get stuck straight in there. God bless you, Sister Chisoma, joining us as well. Brother Chris was making a cup of coffee. Good stuff. Enjoy your coffee, bro. Brother Max joining us there. The Kubiliuses, God bless them as well. We're going to just put up some slides here, saints. I'm going to share my screen. We want to get stuck in straight away. So we're on the second seal. We wanted to have a look at our second seal. So as we get to the second seal, we need to open up our scriptures. As we open up the Bible, Revelation chapter 6, we know that the seals, the first four especially, are pretty short. Simply two verses. One showing the summons, the living creature, and the second verse showing us now the come and see, what he is showing to John typing the bride. John typing us. So this is Revelation 6, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast. Now we know second beast is the ox, the calf, the ox. I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So that's the seal. May the Lord bless our meditations as now we partake of his word. So we're getting on to the second seal. there's our scripture. Now let's just take the key points there. So the ones in orange, so I heard the voice of the second beast say. So now there's something else has come forth. There's a living creature. There's one of the cherub. It's the second one. Something else has come forth from the throne. These guardians of the tree of life, these guardians of the mercy seat. Something's been released from the throne. So the Lord has sent forth an anointing, has sent forth something now to John typing the bride to say, come and see. And John now responds to that. And there's another horse now. So we've seen our first horse. Last week we saw the white horse. But now there's another horse. And this one is not a white horse. This one's red. And power was given unto him. So he was given authority. It was given to him that sat thereon. So not to the horse, but to the rider of the horse. He was given authority to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So the first one had a bow. He doesn't say he had any arrows. He went forth, the white horse rider. This one is now given a great sword. Now the key point is, if you see any picture, if you go on the internet, find the four horse riders of the apocalypse, that's what these are commonly called, you'll generally find that they show all four horses at the same time. But we'll see it from the reading of the book of Revelation. John never sees all four of these horses and these horsemen at the same time. He sees one, the revelation comes forth, then the second seal opens, then he sees the second horse. The revelation is given by the living creature, comes to the third seal, and so on. So John never sees these four horse riders at the same time, because as we said last time, we'll see it this time, this is the same rider. This is Satan riding the horses, but he's going to come in different forms. He's going to come on his white horse. Once that achieves the purpose, get off that white horse. Get onto his red horse, ride on the red horse. That achieves its purpose. Get off the red horse. He's going to get on the black horse, and so on. So it's the same rider, but it's four different horses. I like the way that Brother Ram so much reveals this now and speaks of it very well, about this being Satan on this horse. And he says, notice the change of color of the horses. He says, the same rider, but a change of color of horses. And a horse is a beast, and a beast in the Bible under a symbol represents a power. The same system riding on another color power, from an innocent white to a bloody red. So we can see he's changed now. For last time we saw the spirit of Antichrist, the deception that tried to go forth, Satan trying to infiltrate the church in the beginning, coming on his white horse, Jesus opening that seal said, let no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and all these kind of things. So the Antichrist, so Satan goes forth. It's the spirit of Antichrist. But now the Antichrist spirit, we'll see it in the church ages, becomes incarnate. You'll notice that if you read our first seal, it says that a white horse went forth. He had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. You couldn't crown that white horse rider at first, because you cannot crown a spirit. A spirit has to become incarnate before it can be crowned. So we'll find this Antichrist spirit that went forth as the white horse rider. He now gets to a certain point. He gets to a certain place of influence. So the white religious Antichrist spirit that he's been releasing, Satan's been riding that spirit in the first church age. He now changes and gets off his white horse, and he gets onto a red political horse. So it's coming from being a deceiver now, trying to inject his doctrine, the deeds of the Nicolaitans and all these kind of things, and the things that Paul and the early church cried out against. There was a spirit moving in the church. But now the church is divided in two. The second church age, we find the synagogue of Satan. So there's the church, there's the bride, but there's other gatherings now. There's another gathering of people under the auspices, so-called, of Christ. And this culminates now when the emperor Constantine, so-called, becomes a Christian. And he makes Christianity the state religion of Rome, of the Roman Empire. Now, this is always where problems are going to come in. Whenever you find the church and the state unite, When you find Satan trying to come in through the white horse, he's trying to deceive. He says, it's not really deceiving everybody. He says, I'm going to try another tactic. Now he takes the church, which he has instigated, and he unites that together, the religious spirit with the political spirit. He's getting off his white horse. Now he's getting on a red horse. Now he has a sword. Now he has power to enforce the things that he wants people to believe. Let me just show you a few slides to try to show this. So Satan starts off the spirit of Antichrist. He goes to the white horse. We saw it last time. Jesus is coming on a white horse. But Jesus isn't coming with a bull. Jesus is coming with a sword. Yeah, and the hosts of heaven behind him. So this spirit of Antichrist goes forth in this church, first church age. And then a crown was given unto him. So this spirit has become incarnate now. It's become a system, something that you can crown, something that you can give authority to. So a crown was given unto him, and he gets onto his red horse. And we'll see as he goes now, it's not just the spirit of Antichrist now. Now the spirit of Antichrist gets incarnate, and we'll see becomes the bishop of Rome. When Constantine and the Roman Empire, it collapses, and papal Rome now rises up. And we have the bishop of Rome who assumes responsibility. He's in charge of the Christian world. He's in charge of the political world. We find now the Antichrist spirit is incarnate in the false prophet. We're going to find that with our red horse and on our black horse, he's the false prophet now. It's now flesh and blood. This spirit of Antichrist now controls a system that ends up controlling the whole of the known world down through the dark ages. So he becomes the false prophet. But then, when Satan is cast out at the end, when the bride goes up, when it's a rapture time, now this is our age, there's going to be a change again. Satan's going to be cast out. And when Satan is cast out of heaven, heavenly places, no more able to accuse the brethren anymore. When the church goes up, the bride goes up, Satan comes down. Revelations 12, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down among you, having great wrath, for he knows his time is short. Satan will come and incarnate the false prophet, and he now becomes the beast. And that's when he's getting onto the pale horse, the final horse for his final ride in the tribulation period. That's when you're going to find the white and the red and the black, as we'll see it when you get onto the fourth seal. Now, the Antichrist, the religious power, the political power, the demon power, the black, the dark ages, we'll see what that represents. These are going to unite themselves together in a pale horse, which is a mixture of all that has gone before. So this is the three stages now that Satan assuming control. The white horse, he comes as the spirit of Antichrist. Deception. He comes as wild to beguile, as a serpent. That's how he always comes at first. He comes to deceive. When he sees it's not working, he changes his tactic, gets on the red horse, takes power. Once he has power now, uniting the church and the state, he now has a sword. He now can take peace from the earth. And this is what took place during the dark ages now, this great time during the dark ages. From Glorious Reformation Schmucker, this is quoted in the Seals book. From the time of Saint Augustine of Hippo until 1586, the Roman Catholic Church put 68 million Protestants to death. Brother Ram says, was his sword red? Was the horse, was he riding a red horse? What was it? The same power, the same rider. There's the seal. So you see the red horse, it's now blood, the sword. He now comes and he puts to the, like we said last time, Satan first comes to Eve to deceive. Yeah. And he has Abel now with his revelation, gets off his white horse, comes with his red horse, gets on the red horse, puts Abel to death because you won't bow down to the revelation of Cain. You know, that jealousy and so forth. You'll always find this in the Bible. But the problem is now the uniting time. When you're uniting the church and state, you'll see that. When you find these two things coming together, it's normally at the end of an age, and there's normally trouble. There's normally a sword that follows. Go and see what happened in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. when the believers were persecuted, had to hide in caves and so forth, because the church and the state were united. And now, as soon as Satan has that control, he turns against the real believer. What about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man himself? When he came to the end of his ministry, what happened? The Pharisees and the Sadducees united themselves. It was a uniting time, united themselves against Jesus. But they, as the church, didn't have the power to put him to death. So they had to now go and unite with the state. And now Pilate and Herod, the Bible says, who had been enemies before until that night of the night before the crucifixion, they united, they became friends. And now the church, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, united themselves with politics, with the state. And now they were given power. They were now given the sword, and they put Jesus to death. So you'll always find this. And now that's what's going to happen at the end of our age, friends. When Satan gets onto that pale horse, when Satan assumes, when the systems collapse, and Satan steps in, Hitler being a prototype, the man rising up and promising that he can fix all the problems, and people in their desperation are going to sell everything out, and they're going to give full authority to Satan incarnate in the false prophet. The system of the beast will rise up, and he now will be on his pale horse, which is church and state united and combined with a demonic power. And that's why it says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth at that time. You don't want to be around. You don't want to be caught at that kind of a time. Okay, so we see just briefly, I just wanted to take just a brief summary to show that's what the seal really is. That's what the red horse is. But let's look at the second beast that speaks to John and says, come and see. Let's look at the ox. What is the ox? Now, if you go into the Bible, one of the greatest sacrifices you could offer, the priests had to offer this for themselves on the Day of Atonement, was the offering of a bullock or the offering of an ox. We know, if you know about prophecy, about the red heifer and this big like excitement in Israel because they've managed to breed some perfect red heifers without blemish. Because you have to slay a red heifer, collect its ashes, mix it with certain things, and that became the water of purification for the priesthood. Nobody could go and minister in the temple unless they were sprinkled with the ashes and so forth, the waters of separation from the red heifer. And there wasn't a red heifer for 2,000 years. But just in the last few years, they've managed to breed some red heifers without a spot or without a blemish. And the rabbis, Israel, are all saying, what a great sign that is. But this ox, this living creature, it represents something. An ox is a beast of burden. It's something that can really bear the load. It's something that can labor. It's something that can toil. It's something that's very patient. And also, it's a beast of sacrifice. The bullock was a great, great sacrifice. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest had to offer a bullock for the sins of Israel. The tremendous sacrifice that it was. So it's also a beast of sacrifice. We see that. And we'll find that this anointing that comes with this living creature that comes to John like the ox, it's very appropriate to combat the red horse rider now. Because when Satan gets on his red horse of persecution, you're going to need people to have the anointing of sacrifice, the anointing to lay their lives down, the anointing to bear the burden. It's always going to be like that. And let's have a look at this. The word will always minister exactly to the need. Here's the priest, as we spoke the other day, this the presiding priest was responsible to make sure there was sufficient oil in the lamp so that the lamp could shine its light, to trim the wick, to minister to this lamp, you could say, to the candlesticks representing the church ages. There's Christ in the midst of the church ages. He's the presiding priest. So he knows exactly the oil that each of these candlesticks need. He knows exactly the word that they need. He knows exactly the anointing that they need. He knows exactly what he needs to reveal to them so that they have the armor on required to overcome in their day. You know, so Christ now is looking at the second candlestick. He's looking at the Smyrnaean church age and the third candlestick, getting into this time of persecution of the church. The white horse is finished. He's gone in the first church age. The second, third, now we're getting into that stage of things. And he needs to pour in. Christ, saints, will always pour in exactly the required oil and wine. Whatever you need, whatever the church needs at that time, he will pour in the oil and the wine. That's the duty of the priest, the presiding priest. And let's consider now the message to the Smyrnaean church age, because the church ages and the seals must correspond with one another. So if this is the ox age, if the anointing of the ox has gone forth to the church because Satan's taken control and some persecution is coming now to the church, we should see that reflected in the messages to the church ages. So let's look at the second church age, the message. We're looking here. So Paul's church age there, the first church, that was the white horse. But now we're getting, put it on top there. We're going to go from the red into the black horse. There's a transition here. You can't just pin it down to one church age. There's going to be still, Satan never really finishes his white horse. He's always trying to deceive. I mean, that's one part he's going to try to do. Then he's never really gets off his red horse. Whenever he has an opportunity, he's always going to persecute the believers. But, and then we get onto the black horse, as we'll see it next week. But you'll find predominantly this red horse. Now, this is the season of persecution. He gets onto his red horse in the second age now. And he starts riding this red horse, then he'll change and he'll get onto his black horse. Yet under the black horse is still persecution. There's a lot of persecution, even in those dark ages, even in those ages that are to come. So that's what we're looking at. Let's look at the message to the second church age here, to the Smyrnaean church age. That's the age you wanted to look at, because this is when the red horse rider really starts to ride. Now, let's have a look at how Christ reveals himself to this age. What attributes, you know, each of the church ages, he takes one of his sevenfold, the attributes of his sevenfold glory, and reveals one of them to each church age. You take Revelations 1, there's Christ, the sevenfold glory of Christ. Each church age, he reflects one of those, reveals one of those to the church. Look what he says in Revelations 2, verse 8. And unto the church of Smyrna. You know, Smyrna means bitterness. It means death. That's what you'd embalm dead bodies with, was myrrh, where Smyrna comes from. This is going to be bitterness coming to the church. It says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So he carefully chooses which part of himself, which attribute he's going to reveal to his bride in the message of that age. And the part that he takes, he says, I am he that was dead and is alive. I laid down my life as a sacrifice. And because of that, I was given power. I was given authority to take it up once again. Because I laid down my life. I love not my life unto death, because it was pleasing unto my Father. I now receive the power of the resurrection. He's promising this church the same thing. You're going to see it in the next verses. He's saying to them, don't fear. I'm calling you to lay down your lives. But I'm anointing you with an anointing, a sacrificial anointing. And just as much as the power of the resurrection raised me from the dead, it'll raise you from the dead as well. So the first attribute that it reveals to them is this promise of the resurrection. I am he that was dead and is alive. Look in verse 10 of the Smyrnaean church age. It says, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. So you can see straight away what's going to be in this church age. There's going to be things which, if you don't get this anointing of the ox upon you, you're going to fear, because it's going to be a time of suffering for the church. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. It's going to be a testing time. That word tried there is the same one when you go back and it says, and Satan, Matthew 4, when Jesus went into the wilderness, it says, in the day he went there, led of the Spirit to be tempted. It's the same word, to be tried of the devil, to find out what was in him, to find out whether he will stand the test. So the Lord says to this church age, the devil's going to get some, you're going to be put in prison. but it's to try you. It's to refine you. It's to find out what is on the inside of you. He says, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. We know that's 10 years. We know that if you get in your church ages, it was the 10 years of the persecution of Diocletian, the worst of the persecutions against the Christians in that age. Now, what does he say to them? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, you can see the whole emphasis of this message, saints. You can see it really what it is. You know, it's the ox anointing now. It's anointing the churches, conditioning them, is preparing them to prevail and overcome. They're not like the early church. The early church, the Lord said to them, when you have persecution in one city, flee to another. Remember, Jesus told them, and you'll find Paul, they let him down in a basket. He goes from one city to another. Sometimes he gets beaten up and all those things take place. But by the time we get to this age, when they're anointed by the ox, not anointed by the lion, the believers aren't fleeing from city to city. They're giving their lives over as a sacrifice to the Lord. And what is the promise of this age, the Smyrnaean church age? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Yeah. Can you just see the total emphasis of the message of this age? And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So there's an anointing. There's a spirit that comes with this message to the church. It's the anointing of the ox. It's the anointing of the beast of burden. It's the anointing of the beast of sacrifice that they must lay down their lives. That's what he says. And then you won't be hurt of the second death. Since they can put your body to death, but you will never, ever partake of the second death, the death of the soul, which we know is the lake of fire. Now, the principle of this is it's not by power and it's not by might. If you read Zechariah chapter 4, where the scripture comes from, not by power, not by might, it's a really interesting scripture in that the angel of the Lord comes and wakes up Zechariah and then shows him something. He shows him a candlestick, the seven golden candlesticks, and he sees two olive trees, one on either side, and these candlesticks are feeding the oil into the candlesticks. And in this particular case, at this junction in time, he tells him these two olive trees are the two anointed ones, the two sons of oil, the literal interpretation. This was Zerubbabel, and this was Joshua the high priest. They were the two that were anointed at that time to feed the oil, you know, in that time of the rebuilding and all the things that were taking place of Jerusalem, that is in Nehemiah and so forth. But those two olive trees, this is where the oil comes from, the oil that you put in your lamp. And so it's got the scripture there at the top. It says, behold, a candlestick all of gold. That's what Zechariah saw. And two olive trees by it. And it continues on. If you read your Zechariah 4, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he speaks of the capstone coming, saying, grace, grace. You know, so you can see the principle of this church age. We'll see it now as you just take a bit of a turn. It's, my friend, if you lived in that age, if you lived in the time of the red horse, if you lived in the Smyrnaean church age, the Pergamos church age, the next age where Antipas, my faithful martyr, that Lord speaks of in that church age, was put to death, you could not stand in your own strength. The only way you could prevail and overcome, the only way you could offer yourself acceptably to the Lord, was you had to yield to that anointing that God was given. That anointing that came forth in that message, that anointing that came forth from the throne, the second living creature, this ox now, the calf, the young ox, the bullock, this beast of burden, this beast of sacrifice, you had to yield to that anointing to be able to prevail. You needed to draw from the olive trees in your age, the message of your age, the anointing, the oil now. Because, friends, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's going to be true in every age. You and I are not going to overcome the devil by your might. You're not going to overcome the devil by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that is the key to a successful Christian life, to a victorious Christian life. is that yielding, that submission to the Holy Ghost, is tuning yourself and getting in harmony with the Holy Ghost, because he's the only one. Now, friends, God is faithful. So I just want to just take this scripture now to show this is exactly what he did to the believers in the age gone by, but this scripture is true to all of us. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful." Friends, I really love that. God is faithful. That literally means God is trustworthy. You can trust in him. God is faithful. What is he faithful about? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. If there's going to come the red horse, if there's going to come the persecution, no problem. He's not going to give you something that he's not going to prepare you for first. He's going to equip you. He's going to anoint you. He's going to minister you into the condition that you're supposed to be, like he did in that early church in the Smyrna, the message to that age. And then by that spirit, by my spirit, saith the Lord, you'll be able to overcome. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You'll always be able to bear it. Now, there's really something blessed about that. The tremendous grace, the power that God has promised to the believer in the line of duty. He has promised to meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Your spiritual needs, your temporal needs, whatever that it is. If you are walking with him, friends, when the devil comes, he's going to give you exactly what you need. The Bible says we shall receive grace to help in time of need. And that's what this ox anointing, that's what this ox living creature represents. When this red horse is going forth, he's saying, God is faithful. Don't worry. He's going to put you in prison. Some of you are going to be put to death. But God will give you what you need. He'll never allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. You will find the grace that you need. You'll find the oil and the wine that you need to overcome at every junction of life, in every age, because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Christ is looking, is maintaining the candlestick. Christ is pouring in the oil, he's trimming the wick. He's watching over these candlesticks that he purchased at the price of his own blood. He's watching over his church, pouring in exactly what's needed for that age to overcome. It's like Job on the ash heap. When Satan thought that he had him, he found grace to help in time of need. Here the heavens opened, the thunder roared, the lightning flashed. Here came an anointing dropped down. Here, right in that crucial moment, I'm quoting from I've Heard But Now I See. At that crucial moment, he had access to God. It wasn't by Job's power. It wasn't by Job's might. It was by the Spirit that dropped down on him, and he stood up and he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Exactly what he needed to bring him off that ash heap. And friends, God is faithful. He's so faithful. Like Samson in the line of duty, when the lion roared against him, that unction came upon him, that anointing came upon him, that Nazarite blessing, because he was born under a Nazarite vow, and he rent it in two because the Holy Ghost came mightily upon him. Because God is faithful. He'll not allow you ever to be tempted above that which you are able. But in any situation, if you're walking with him, he'll give you grace to help in time of need. What about Isaiah 43, verse 2? This is common scriptures, but let's bring it to this age when the church was being persecuted. He says, when, I put it in orange there, when thou passest through the waters. He doesn't say if you pass through the waters. He says, when you pass through the waters. He says, I will be with thee. That's what he's saying to the Smyrnaean church age. He says, when this red horse rider rides, when Satan now has the control to cast you into prison, to put you to death, when you pass through those waters, fear not, I will be with thee. And then he says, and when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. when they walk us through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And friends, that is the testimony of a believer, faithful to the Lord in the line of duty. Your flesh gets scared. Now, your mind will tell you a lot of things. But when you step into that fiery furnace like the Hebrew children, you'll find that God is faithful. He will never put something upon you which is more than you're able to bear. But in any situation, there's always a way of escape. He will anoint you. He'll be with you in the fire. He says, when you walk through the rivers and not overflow you, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Then he even says, David caught that revelation, says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they come. Friends, when you get to the end of the journey and you have to cross the Jordan, I won't have to cross Jordan alone because Jesus died for my sin. That, friend, gives me such a confidence. That's why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't like, be like the Gentiles who worry about tomorrow. What shall we eat and what shall we drink? And what shall we? He says, after these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers. He says, but just seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just be faithful. Just walk with Christ today. He has promised that if there's fire tomorrow, he'll be with you in the fire. If there's floods tomorrow, they're not going to overflow you. If you go through the fire, it's not going to be kindled upon you. You're going to come out the other side. And that is the testimony of believers. You'll go through COVID, you'll come out the other side. You'll go through sickness, come out the other side. You'll go through persecutions. Go through all manner of things, temptations, but God is faithful, friends. And that gives a believer rest. You can rest in him. It's like you as a father or you as a mother, you'll never put something too heavy upon your children if you can handle it. You'll never. Now, you'd rather carry the burden for them if it's too much for them. How much more your heavenly Father, the Bible says. So that's what Isaiah is saying. Now, I didn't put this one on a quote, but Brother M speaks about this one here. He speaks about, don't forget this, church. He says, and you brethren on tape. He's speaking from the fifth seal, paragraph 140. He says, and you on tape. Sorry, let me just, there we are. And you that are on tape, I want you to examine this. That's why we took a bit of time and what you've been speaking about. I want you to examine this. How could men do anything else besides the power of God that had been released to them? Now, we've read this one quite a few times recently, but it so much summarizes the seal. How can you do anything apart from the power of God that's released to you? Friends, I can never be more than God makes me. Yeah, I can't manufacture things. All I can do is respond to him. All I can do is walk with him. When I get to the Red Sea, I can't open the Red Sea, neither can you. But when that anointing comes down and says, why criest thou unto me? Speak and go forward. All I've got to do is respond to that anointing. Speak and go forward. That's why he says in those crucial moments, when you're on those sacred sands, that's when that something drops down that channel. And then you can say, I'm healed. And you step out of your sickness. Or you can speak and go forward, whatever that it is. Friends, we are but instruments. He is the vine. We are but the branches. We don't have to manufacture anything. We just have to respond to him. We just need to be yielded. That's why he says all the church needs is a step closer and more of a consecrated life to live with him. That's all the church needs. We don't need any new soul's armor and things like that. No. He is faithful. He is faithful, no matter what it is that comes. So he says, don't forget this. He says, if God sends a certain spirit among them, so he has God sending the ox anointing, the beast of burden, the laboring sacrifice anointing on those early church ages there. If God sends a certain spirit among them, that's the only thing they can work by is the spirit that works among them. Our friends, some different ministries have different anointings. Now you find an evangelistic ministry has a different anointing than the pastor's pastoral anointing, different anointing than an apostolic anointing. So God knows what we need at certain times. And when there's a certain something operating in your life, a certain anointing, a certain spirit operating in the church, all we need to do as a church is respond to that anointing, is to just work together with that spirit that is working inside of the church. When the oil is coming now from the olive trees, we just need to draw in the oil. We just need to yield ourselves. We just need to make our souls available and take advantage of whatever visitation, whatever anointing it is that the Lord is giving to us at whatever time. Then he goes on to say, now we'll prove this to you by the history of the church and by the opening of the seals and by the powers that are let loose. He says, I'm going to prove this to you by the different living creatures, he says, by the different horses that went forth, by the church ages. He says, I'll prove this to you. He says, watch it exactly. The church responded to the anointing. They couldn't do anything else. Oh, friends, that's a powerful thing to think about, that principle. Now, I'm just going to take a few accounts from Fox's Book of Martyrs, because when you're speaking of the ox anointing, friends, when you're speaking of this anointing under the ages of persecution, you're never going to find a better book to read than Fox's Book of Martyrs. I mean, I've read this since I was a young believer. I don't know how many copies I've had that I gave away, but it's a tremendous, tremendous book. And there's some such powerful testimonies now of people anointed by the anointing of the ox during times of persecution, when there was the uniting, like this is made in England, when there was the uniting of church and state, when Catholicism, when Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, and that took over the throne, and now the papacy and the English government were united together. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth when that happens. Woe unto the believers. But the Lord says, fear not. When you pass through that fire, I'll be with you. When you go through those waters, they're not going to overflow you. And the very first one I'll just speak about, we normally give this example. My friend, the one who helped me testify to me when I was young, PJ, Brother David knows him well, my good brother, he got into the message at the same time, him and me, but he was in Pentecost, he helped me so much. He was the one when I was in Pentecost that first told me the story. And when I got in the message and I got Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I found out about Thomas Hawker. Now, Thomas Hawker, it was during the time of the persecutions in 1555, when the Protestants were being burnt at Smithfield, burnt at the stake just outside of London, because they held true to what they believed. And Thomas Hawker and two of his friends had been arrested. Fear not, Satan will cast some of you into prison. Remember, so they were cast into prison. And while they were in prison now, the time came, they were condemned to death. They were condemned. They were going to be burnt at the stake. And the two of Thomas Hawker's friends were really nervous about it, you know, to say, but hey, is it bearable? Imagine going and standing. Imagine you just put your finger in a match, the fire from a match. It burns. It's very painful. Burning is a very painful thing. And they were wondering, is it possible? Will we be able to endure dying by being burnt at the stake? So they made an agreement one with another that if it's bearable, and Thomas Hawker was the first one who was going to go to the stake. So the other brother said to him, they said, Brother Thomas, if this is bearable, when you're in the midst of the flame, if the Lord is really with you, friends, God is faithful. If the Lord is with you in the flame, let us know. Raise your hands above your head so we'll know that it's bearable. And so now Fox's Book of Martyrs picks it up and says, Thomas Hawker, being bound to the stake, the fire was set unto him. They lit the fire. In the which, when he had continued long, and when his speech was taken away by the violence of the flame, he couldn't talk anymore because of the flames. His skin was also drawn together. Imagine, he was being burnt. And his fingers were consumed with fire, so that now all men thought certainly he had gone suddenly, that he was gone suddenly. And contrary to all expectations, this blessed servant of God reached up his hands, burning, lit by fire. And marvelous to behold, over his head to the living God, with great rejoicing, it seemed. He struck or clapped them three times together. Then he fell forwards and he died. Friends, God is faithful. You and I will look at that because it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. You are never going to fulfill the promises of God. You are never going to overcome the wiles or the persecutions or the temptations, whatever it is of the devil, in your own strength, in your own ability. There's something going to have to be released to you. And to this age of the red horse, it was the ox that was released from the tree of life now. That was the anointing that came in the message of those ages to anoint the people, to condition the people. And that's how Thomas Hawkett says, which thing he had promised certain of his friends to do. Secretly between themselves, it was agreed that if the rage of the pain was tolerable and might be suffered, that he would lift up his hands above his head towards heaven before he gave up the ghost. And friends, what an encouragement to his friends that must have been. But friends, we can just take it back to the word. God is faithful. He will not ever allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Our friends, you know, it just brings to my mind the other one which I've spoken of before, you know, of another brother in those days who was brought now forth and he was going to be burnt at the stake. And they brought him forth from the prison. You know, they would take him on a procession and let all the people see. And they brought him to the place, but he wasn't the first person that was going to be burnt. There was already somebody at the stake was being burnt alive at the stake. And this brother now, though he had been in prison, though he had suffered so much in prison, you know, and the Roman church was trying to get him to recant of what he believed, but he stood for Christ all the way. Until in the end, they said, there's nothing we can do. This heretic, he needs to be burnt at the stake. And they committed him over to the state now, and the state, the government took him now to burn him that day. And when he got near to the place of the execution, and he saw somebody else burning at the stake, he fell down on his knees. Many saints have heard me say this story, but it applies so well here. He fell on his knees and he says, I cannot burn. I cannot burn. You see, the natural, that's us, friends. It's not by power and it's not by might. He had done well. He had walked with Christ through that persecution. He hadn't been given into the deception and the different the enticements that were given him to renounce the faith. But when he saw now that I have to go and stand in those flames, his flesh almost overcame him. And when he fell to the ground and he said, I cannot burn, I cannot burn. The Roman Catholic priest came to him thinking that he was going to recant now, thinking, wonderful, he's going to renounce his faith. And when they came to him, he says, no, go away. That's not what I'm meaning. Just leave me to pray. And the eyewitnesses said that he prayed such a heartbreaking prayer of desperation because he realized in himself he couldn't do it. And then he prayed. And here came grace to help in time of need. And as he prayed now, the Lord ministered to him and he stood up to his feet and he put his hands up and he said, I can burn. I can burn. And then he was led to the stake and he died for his faith. And that proves a principle to us, saints. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I'll give you one more example, and then we'll take some points from this, and then we'll finish off. This is now the next account. It's the account of John Bradford. Now, if you read in history, you read this age now, the 1550s and stuff, there was Bishop Cranmer, Hugh Latimer, there was Ridley and Bradford. There were four very, very faithful ministers that were all now imprisoned for their faith when the Catholic Church took over and they were were going to be put to death. And the first one had already died. The first one was Rogers. He had already gone to the stake and died. And this is now a letter that John Bradford, now being a minister, he was in prison. He was going to be put to death the next day. And he wrote this letter to his brethren, the other ones that were condemned to death, to encourage them. Now you think a person going to be burnt to death. He's in the cells, maybe he's cold, he hasn't had food and things like that. He writes to them, he says, our dear brother Rogers hath broken the ice valiantly this day. and tomorrow at the uttermost, hearty Hooper and sincere Sanders and trusty Taylor end their course and receive their crown. The next am I. You know, so in fact, he was after them. Who hourly look for the porter to open me the gates after them, to enter into my desired rest. God forgive me for my unthankfulness, for this exceeding great mercy, that among so many thousands, it has pleased his mercy to choose me to be one in whom he will suffer. You know, they caught a revelation. They said, Christ died. He suffered and he died for me. Now he wants to suffer in me. That was a revelation that they caught. And he looked and he said, who am I that I should be chosen among so many thousands that in me he should suffer? Oh, what am I, Lord, that thou shouldest magnify me, so vile a man and wretched as all as I have been? In this it has pleased you for such a wretch as me in a fiery chariot to fetch me as you did Elijah. You see the way they would look at these things. They would look at the stake. They would look at the fire and say, the Lord is sending his fiery chariot to take me home. Friends, you can't do that in your flesh and blood. These were people that were so imbued and walking so in the harmony of the message of the age. They were so in tune with Christ when he was revealing himself. I am he that was dead and now I'm alive. Be thou faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. Now that message was so real. That was the oil that was in the lamp. That was what was required so they could walk and finish their course and fulfill the purpose of Christ for that age, was that anointing now. That was the ox anointing incarnate in them, just as much as the red horse rider, that anointing had been incarnate in those priests and popes and so forth. This was now Christ in his church, the anointing of the ox, the sacrificial beast. He says that the Lord is sending the chariot as he did for Elijah. Oh, dear fathers, he says to his brothers, the ones who are going to die, be thankful for me and pray for me that I might be found worthy in whom the Lord would sanctify his holy name. And for your part, make you ready. For we are but ushers. The marriage of the Lamb is prepared. Come unto the marriage. Now, friends, they really realize these things. And if you go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, this account after account, and you'll really see it. This, the next one, again, is a man called Robert Samuel. He was left hungered in the prison, cold and so forth. And he went to sleep and he was half asleep. And here came one all dressed in white into his prison cell who seemed to stand before him. And he ministered comfort to him and said, Samuel, Samuel, be of a good cheer. Take good heart to yourself, for after this day, you shall never again either be hungry or thirsty. You know how the Lord ministered to these people when they were in the midst, friends. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, how do we apply that to our age? Friends, we're not under the anointing of the ox. We're not looking to the persecution of the tribulation. We're under the anointing of the eagle. But as you read about these ones, as you see how they were so one with the message of their day, they were so in tune now with Christ and in that frequency of the Spirit that he was ministering them to that time, that they, what did they do? They manifest the third pull in their age. By them being able to go and stand in the flame and raise their hand, that was the third pull, friends. But that was the third pull under the anointing of the ox. Can you see? That was the token now on display. They were under the token of the age. That was the anointing. That was the life from the blood that quickened them to prevail and overcome in their age. Now, friends, remember when the prophet speaks about the third pull? He says there will be no impersonation to this. Can you see when those brothers were going to the stake? And that brother went there and he realized, I can't burn, I can't burn. Can you see there was no impersonation to this? When you went and stood in that fire, friends, either you had it or you didn't. Either you were anointed and you were under that anointing of the ox for your age, or you weren't. And you didn't want to leave it too late until you got to the stake to find out that I don't have what I thought that I had. Because that was the third pull. That was the token to them. And there's no impersonation of the third pull. What is the third pull going to result to us? To the body change. That's what the prophet says, that final quickening to the rapture. He says there'll be no, that spoken word, that manifestation of the sons of God, there'll be no impersonation. And friends, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, under that anointing of the ox, that was the manifestation of the sons of God in that age. That was Christ manifest in his church, that he had laid his life down as a sacrifice. And now they were anointed with that anointing to lay their lives down as a sacrifice. They were now the manifestation of the sons of God in their age. And the token, Christ testified of them. Now you go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, how the Lord testified. This is the next one after that. It gives the account of a certain brother who went, and when he burnt in the flames, the eyewitness says that he burnt bright like silver. You know, he just like burnt, it just was white in the midst of the flame. Friends, that is the manifestation of the sons of God under that. They had something, that access to something in the crucial moment. Now, there was something that ministered exactly to them at that time. What did they have, friends? They had the oil in the lamp. The bride now under that ox anointing had that oil in the lamp. And it's that oil that separates the wise from the foolish virgin in every age. The foolish virgin, they would have walked with Christ as much as they did in that age. But if you didn't have that oil, if you weren't imbued now with that anointing of the ox coming through, that message to Smyrna, message to Pergamos, if you weren't one with the word, yeah, if you weren't walking in harmony, walking with Christ as he walked in the midst of the candlesticks, it would find you out in that age. It would find you out, because when you needed the oil to kick in, when you were going to the stake, there was no oil to kick in if you were the foolish virgin. And what's it going to be in our age? It's going to be the rapture, friends. It's going to be the third pull. You're going to need that something, that anointing of the eagle to kick in at that time. That anointing, that power of the third pull, that power to quicken you at that kind of time, like Job on his ash heap. And here in his crucial hour, he has access to God. Ah, friends, we don't want to be leaving these things too late. You don't want to be presuming. You see, you don't want to be found as a foolish virgin, that because you're dressed in white, because you've heard the midnight cry, because you're sitting there, you've got your lamp, you know, you've been summoned to the wedding feast. But friends, you don't get the oil in your lamp. And that is what this ox is. It's the oil in the lamp. And those that should truly baptize with that anointing, with the Holy Ghost in that form, in that age, the Holy Ghost coming with that anointing in that age, they were able to prevail and overcome, to do those exploits, to manifest Christ in their age. And now it's left up to us. So just in closing, I'd say it, my friend, don't leave this until it's too late. You want to make sure now that there's oil in the lamp. And the Lord's going to prove it to you. As we said, even with this lockdown and with the, you know, the pandemic and stuff, it's like the Lord in a measure has given us a taste of what's to come. How quickly things can change and people can lose their jobs and society can fall apart. And if you, how did you handle this crisis when it came? Was there access in the crucial hour to the grace of God? Did God minister you through the crisis? Or were you found wanting? Were you found without the oil that you thought that you had in the lamp? That's the grace of God, friend, because God has shown you, no, you're not. You didn't have the oil that you thought that you had. It's time to get the oil. There's nothing as important as that, friends. And when I look back to those ages gone by, like I said, I always want to apply it to myself. You know, I'm praying, I'm trusting. I mean, we do have persecution, every single one of us. We do have, you know, people that will fight you and bully you and all those kind of things because of your faith. Now, even in certain countries now, believers go to China and that there's persecution. You're delivered to prison. God is faithful. But you want in your daily walk that you know the faithfulness of God, that you have the witness in your own experience, that you have access to God in the crucial hour, that it's not just intellectual, that it's not just you by your power and by your might, but that it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. You want to make sure that you're walking with Christ on a daily basis, and he will confirm it to you along the way that you're walking with him. And then it doesn't matter how big the Goliath is, doesn't matter how big the Red Sea it is that comes, doesn't matter how big the sword is that the red horse has in that age. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. When you go into that fire, I will be with you. When you go through those floods, they will not overflow you. And friends, if that is your testimony now in your own life, that you know that by experience, you're a blessed person. Let's bow our heads. Father, that is what we desire. Even as we finish up upon this night, Lord, we know that it's not by power. We know that it's not by might, Lord. But we know, Father, that, Lord, there's access. Father, Lord, unto your grace, to the oil, to the wine, to everything that we need in the hour of need. Father, we know that we'll always do find grace to help in time of need, and how blessed that it is. And Jesus, all that we desire is to walk closer to you, to know you better, Lord. Father, we bring our lamps to you upon this day, and we say, Lord, fill us afresh. Fill us, Lord, with that oil. Fill us, Lord, with the oil of this age. Lord, reveal yourself. Speak unto us, Lord, that you may be glorified in us, Lord. For Father, this the promises, Lord, how blessed, Lord. The Father, that they that know their God shall do exploits. We see it in the bride in ages gone by, in their conditions, in the ages they went forth doing their exploits, manifesting the sons of God. We see the manifestation, Lord. Father, be glorified in us, Lord, we pray. I pray for each person, Lord. I pray upon this night, if there's someone, Lord, listening in or would listen to this down the way, Lord, and they know now that they're not in the condition they should be, that don't have that oil. The oil ran out during this pandemic, Lord, or the oil runs out whenever the crisis comes. I pray that you, Lord Jesus, the one that has the responsibility for the candlesticks, Lord, will pour the oil in, will trim the lamp. Will, Lord, work your wonderful work in each life, in each soul, that we may not be found wanting, Lord, because you know that you are faithful. And Lord, we're resting in your faithfulness. So bless your people. Bless our fellowship now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you there. If anybody has any questions, anything to add, ask, or concerning this one. Anybody at all? You almost feel like singing that song, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Don't you desire that, friends? We need that oil. And we need it on a daily basis. We need it every step of the way, each junction. Anybody there? I can see Brother Greg. God bless you, Brother Greg, for joining there.
Brother, just on my break. Sorry, I have to work.
No problem, Brother. God bless you, Brother Greg. How are you doing, bro?
Good, good. Very good, brother.
Amen.
I will listen tonight when I will feeling Noah.
Okay, bro. God bless, bro. No problem. Anybody else there, saints? Brother Sasha, please, bro.
God bless you, brother. Very good.
God bless you,
bro. I believe that everybody who will watch, it will be blessed. Just one question. So in all four riders, yeah? We have now in pale horse. So even when we read about the prosecution and everything, we can have the same demon power today.
Absolutely.
In our life, that may be just.
Amen. True, bro. Absolutely. Bro. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and if you think of it, Brother Sasha, the squeeze is going to be, there's going to be a measure of suffering that he leaves for his church. You know, how many times did Brother Ram say it in those early messages? He says, the persecution will run us together. And our persecution strengthens the church. You look in Malawi when there's persecution. You look in China. You look, whenever there's persecution, it purifies the genuine believer. Even this pandemic, it says strengthen the genuine believer. But those who are on the edges, it really shook them and weakened them. I saw that. I saw the real believer got stronger. But the people that were not so committed, they became weaker. They really got shaken. And I think that is always the case. The church, how many times do you hear it, has nothing to fear from persecution. When is the Lord most real to you? Is in your time of trial, in the times of your afflictions, in the time of persecutions, in the time of misunderstandings. That's when he's the most real, the most precious to you. That is the testimony of a believer. And yes, when you get into the tribulation period is the greatest time of persecution. Jesus said a time of trouble such as never been since man was upon the earth. Maybe he says that the foolish virgin will be hunted down like dogs when the dragon spurts the water out of his mouth, Revelation 12. Yeah, and he goes after the Jews, and there's Moses and Elijah, the two wings of an eagle to protect them. Then he comes after the remnant of the woman's seed that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the foolish virgin, the remnant, those that are left behind. Oh my, you know, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's not just history, it's prophecy for the future as well. You know, so there is going to be the red horse, the black horse, the white horse. You know, that's the age we live in, uniting time now. But the pale horse, we know it from the seals, doesn't ride until Satan is cast out. Then the beast now gets on the pale horse. So the fullness now is beyond the rapture. The church doesn't see that because Christ will take his bride before that takes place because God is faithful. He'll never put upon you that which you're not able to bear. But that's why you don't want him in the tribulation. That's why you want to walk with Christ now. You want to have the present tense testimony of your own experience, that you are filled with the oil to walk with Christ. We all have our ups and downs, we all have our good days and bad. That's not what we're speaking about. When you get into the crisis, when you're at the end of yourself, is there something in you, something beyond yourself that you have access to, something that quickens, something that comes and does something inside of you, which is not of yourself? To the genuine believer, everyone's saying amen. You know what it is, that when you get to the end of yourself, there's grace to help in time of need. You don't need all that to be cranked up by other people. Now, when there's no church, you still have church. You know what I mean? Yeah, when there's no song worship, you still have your own song worship. Yeah, when there's no one to read the Bible to you, my, you and Christ, you and Jesus have church together. You know, you got the oil in your lamp. Yes, we need church. We need ministry. We need those things. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have given that to us. But yeah, I know Brother Chad Lamb, he said that at the beginning of the pandemic. I remember listening a little bit, and he said, now, saints, we really need to come to the stage to realize that you've got to come to a time in your own Christian life that you don't depend on church, because, hey, there comes junctions where we can't have church. There come a time we can't have Zoom, maybe. Yeah? The prophet says, you know, they'll close you down. Yeah, but he says you'll meet in other places. You'll always find some way to do it. But I think you want to check in your current experience. You know, what is my walk like with Christ like? You know, have I really laid myself upon the altar? Because, yes, as an individual, you can have persecution. You can be persecuted for your faith. Your family can persecute you. Like Brother George, I remember he was persecuted by his family. Told, if you go to that church, you can't live here. You know, you find your own place to stay. Yeah, so those things do take place. Yes, bro, absolutely. Anybody else? Anybody else, saints, before we finish off there today? Any messages there? Hello? Yes, by Georgie.
That was very powerful, Pastor. Wow. It's amazing. I won't take anything from that mind. That was very, very powerful. It's a good reminder of what's coming.
Yeah, it's coming to the world, but not to the believer, bro.
The believer still will have to put in the power. Like you say, but imagine being like those martyrs being put on the stake. You need to know that you know that you know.
Amen. That's
you
right.
You can't believe in the Jesus that Pastor Andrew preaches.
And the big one as well, Brother George, I mean, every one of us have to come to the end of the journey. If you go by the way of the grave, you've got to pass through that Jordan, and you want to really make sure that you know him. Like Paul says, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. You know, you want to know him. You want to know him now when the going gets tough and he's there with you, because you know, you want to prove for yourself, know it for yourself that God is faithful. You know, because if he's faithful with the lion and he's faithful with the bear, he's going to be faithful with the Goliath. You know, it just builds up in that kind of a way. You really need to know his faithfulness. So may the Lord help us on those things, saints. So it's just trying to take the seal, saints, and try to make it more relevant, because sometimes we read of these things historically, but if you think of those ages gone by, you know, you think of the like Fox's Book of Martyrs, or even Antipas, my faithful martyr and stuff. No, they were people that really, like I'm saying, that was the third pull of that age, friends. And that really was the third pull. That was Christ being glorified inside of his people. For you to be able to go and stand in the midst of flames and put your hands up and clap your hands three times over your hands. I mean, friends, that is a manifestation of a son of God. I mean, that is a powerful thing under that anointing. So we're under another anointing now. We're under the eagle anointing. May we yield to the Holy Ghost as he's dealing with us now. You know, so that we do, that's what the Proverbs says, all the church needs is a step closer, more of a consecrated life to live with him. We don't need something new, don't need something big. It's just that life that you live, to live with him. That's really what we're needing. And I'm sure you're like me, you just desire a closer walk with him. God bless Brother Ken there from joining from Nigeria. God bless our brother as well. We do greet him as well in Jesus' name. And anybody else been watching on YouTube, we do greet you. Anybody to finish off there, saints? There's some saints watching on YouTube. God bless them as well. Otherwise, we'll leave it at that. I think there's plenty to chew on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have time so much to get into, but I want to just go and read my Fox's Book of Martyrs again. It really stirred me up today when I was studying these things. There's such powerful testimonies in here, friends. Yeah, and it's just so blessed. That was the bride in that age, and the faithfulness of Christ, their simplicity, their humility, and how God was so faithful to them in the crucial hour. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So may the Lord richly bless you. Let's ask somebody to pray for us there. Brother Georgie, would you pray for us, please, brother, as we finish? God bless each and every one. It's been wonderful to be with you. Look forward to meeting you next week by the grace of God, or during the week in the remainder of the things that come before.
Father, we thank you, oh God, for your word. That's precious, right. Savior, we don't realize how precious and how important this word is to us at this time. But Lord, precious Savior, maybe one day when these, Lord, portals and these channels play out, oh God, and Lord, Father, each brother, each sister is on their own. Lord, Father, then the reality has to kick in. That relationship, Lord, that one-to-one between Lord, Father, brother or sister and God has to kick in, oh God. We think of these great men that left, Lord, Father, these footprints behind us, oh God. Amen. Father, even just that testimony the pastor read, oh God, these things really happened, oh God. Lord, Father, they are now in history. But Amen. Lord, Father, these things, Lord, Father, Lord, we feel a pinch of them amidst our lives from time to time, oh God. And Amen. How we desire, as pastor said initially, when we started off, Lord, it's not, Lord, Father, a knowledge or Lord, Father, just a theory, but it's a relationship with Christ. Amen. It's an inside life that we live, Lord, Father, day to day. Lord, Father, oh God, Lord, Savior, though, Lord, Father, this body may tire, but Lord, just a relationship with you, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, Father, feed us, give us that oil whilst we can, Lord. Let us trim our lamps and, Lord, fill, Lord, Father, with the oil that, Lord, Father, will pass us through all fires and tribulations to come. We look to thee now, bless everyone that has tuned in, and even as has been prayed, Lord, for those that would listen in the future, O God. Amen. Father, let this word be a light unto them, O God. And bless our pastor, Lord, whose labor tonight, the labor of love, restore virtue unto him as he would go back into these things. Lord, Father, you speak volumes unto him, O God. And as we, Lord, Father, would ponder, Lord, Father, these things, this is the path of life, and this is what you designed for us to hear today. We bless your name. We praise your name. Until we meet again, be with each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. God bless you, saints. Have a good evening. Bon appétit, bonne nuit, and all the bonds that we can think about. God bless you. Brother Clayton, good to see you, brother. Faithful as well.
God bless you, pastor.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Amen. Brother Jeannot, God bless you, bro, as well. The Zimas, see you joining there as well. God bless. Brother Ken, God bless you, bro.
God bless you.
Amen. Good to hear from you. How are you keeping?
Thank you, Amen. Fine. Very fine.
Yeah. Good stuff, bro. Ellie and family, God bless you, saints there.
God bless you.
God bless
you.
God bless. God bless, saints. Have a good evening, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.